Morning. Welcome to everybody, both those here and those online, to the most important event of the week, worshipping God and hearing the living God speak to us from the Bible. Few people have ever tried to describe the God that Christians worship. He is so majestic and awesome, he's really beyond description. Tune in to the awe that Baird and Aldridge have tried to convey as we listen to our first song, Behold Our God.
Tremble at his voice.
nothing. Nothing can compare. We worship an awesome God. And ever since God has created people, he's given us both the power and the responsibility to make many significant decisions. And I wonder if anyone can recall which Old Testament person made this decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, Joshua made that very clear stand. And today in the series that we're following in the book of Ruth, Trevor will be addressing decisions respected and honoured. But let's first draw near together to God, because we come here together to meet with God and take part in the building up of his church. God's intent was that now, through this church and many churches worldwide, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. 2,000 years ago, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Let's just pause before we acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves, that we may return to the Lord with repentance and faith. Just a moment's quiet before we join in that. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist reminds us, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on his name.
Make known among the nations what he has done.
Of course, we find what he has done in the Bible, so let's pray before hearing from the Bible, that God will help us understand his sacred word. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3 as we start our Bible reading.
Our first reading this morning is Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. One day Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian and redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, my God.' First," he said, "sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then," he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand? And let's affirm what we believe in the words of this statement from the scriptures. Together, Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Well, the Lord be with you. Please just turn around to the person next to you and just say hello. Don't move from your seat. Just wave to them. If you can reach an elbow across or a thumb or a fist pump, you can do so. Please take a seat. As Fiona mentioned, we continue our Bible teaching through the book of Ruth today. And one of the things that she picked up very early in the service, I heard her say, and again, this is what the book of Ruth reminds us, is that as Christian people, We choose to live life God's way. We choose to live life differently to the world. And so what we see here in this little story of Ruth in the Bible, if we've not picked it up already, is that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And instantly we think that's the world. But no, it was God's people. God's people at the time were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. They thought they had no king, but God was their king. And in sharp contrast, this book of Ruth is there in the midst between the judges and the kings to remind God's people that here is a family who chooses to live differently. Here is a man, Boaz, and a woman, Naomi, who's one of God's people, and Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabite, who has realized that living life God's way is better than living the way of the world. And so she is of great influence in this story of unfolding to Naomi and to those around about us, about them. And so we pick up the story at the moment in chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles there handy, we come to this little chapter, and up on the screen will be the Bible passages and the outline, the main points that we'll be talking about today. I remember when Rosemary and I proposed, I got in first. She could have got in first, but I got in first. And I know it's a bit corny, but one of my lines was, and I've said it to my children as well too now, is that you'll be forever young if you say yes. I know it's a bit corny, you know. So, but what we hear, we have that's right. But I also remember, Rosemary, we have a little chat here. I remember I actually was brave enough to go up to your mum and dad, that's right, after about 3 hours of talking with them. Eventually, about 11 o'clock, I had enough courage. And I said on this Friday night, I said, look, can I have your wife, can I have your daughter's hand in marriage, please? And I remember mum and dad sort of saying, certainly you can. You can have everything else as well. Now we can go home. But then it was lovely to hear later that that Rosemary's parents then prepared Rosemary to say, didn't break it to her. Said, look, on Tuesday when Trevor comes over, you know, have a nice morning tea. You're there ready for him when he comes on over. That when I was able to propose to her. What we have before us in this chapter here is a beautiful scene of all godliness and above board of a woman, a foreign woman, who has decided to become one of God's people and taking the initiative to propose and to ask for marriage and to encourage one of God's people, Boaz, to do what is right by God, by Naomi, her mother-in-law, by her husband previous who's died, and by her father-in-law who has died, and by herself. It's a wonderful story, this book. And as we've learnt, this book reminds us of four things. And if anything, these 4 points should go away remembering about the book of Ruth. God is faithful, despite his people and the situations we find ourselves in. He calls us to trust him and to live God's way, as hard as that will be. The second thing is, God is always working his purposes out for good through that, for his people. When everything within us cries out, that's not good, you know, we should do what's right in our own eyes. No, what's right in God's eyes is what's good for us and his people and the world. The third thing is welcoming and providing for the outsider. Ruth is that story for us. Ruth, remember back in chapter 1, Orpah and Naomi, and Orpah and Ruth, both beg of Ruth to take them back with her to Judah. And Ruth discourages the outsider. Ruth persists. Orpah goes back. Sad story. But Ruth persists, and finally Naomi realizes, well, at the beginning of the picture, as stroppy and as grumpy as she is and bitter with God because of what's happened in her life, Ruth goes and she lets her come along with him, with her. And what a blessing we're seeing God is through Ruth to Naomi. Welcoming and providing for the outsider. The one who is not yet one of God's people, who chooses to become one of God's people by putting God first and living life his way, is to be a blessing to us, his people as well. To welcome them in and accept them in. Those who live according to God's way of living. Welcome and provide for the outsider, and so doing keep God's law. And the last thing is, be thankful and grateful. You see this change in Naomi from the beginning of the book to the end of the book of being grateful. She starts off bitter, and there's nothing worse, I believe, than seeing and hearing a bitter Christian person. And when they realize and they think, I'm empty, she says, nothing. But Ruth's there with her. And all the way through the story, we see how God continues, provides for Naomi and for Ruth and for God's people. And it's a story about never taking God's goodness and provision and protection for granted. Just stop and think how good God is and be thankful and grateful. For he is faithful despite what his people are going through and what we're like. So we come to the passage today of chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, and it says a decision that's been made, and that decision is respected and honoured. We look at verses 1 to 5, and the title for these verses is More Than Matchmaking. Firstly, before we come to those verses, there's two words that are now mentioned. Previously, they were mentioned in the previous chapter, and that is that Naomi talks about Boaz as a close relative. There is a Hebrew word for that, as there is a word for guardian redeemer. When Ruth makes it known that she's been gleaning unbeknownst to her in a close relative and guardian redeemer's fields, this is Naomi's reaction, who she didn't know either. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness, this is Boaz, to the living and the dead. She added, that man is a close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. And so what does Naomi mean here by saying that he is a close relative? A cousin, an uncle, a brother, a sister? Or what does it mean here? It's more than that. It's actually saying that he has a responsibility as a close relative to continue and provide and protect for Naomi's husband's Elimelech. I'll get that right eventually at the end of the series. Line and family. So to produce children in that line, land and name and family. Guardian Redeemer is about taking on the responsibility of paying the price or the ransom or the necessary requirements to fulfill the law for that to occur. Turn with me here to a couple of passages in the Old Testament that explain it. Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 to 10. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. And again, we read a bit further. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, His brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face, and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. That a man's line shall be known in Israel as the family, and his name shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 to 25, we read, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land, says the Lord, as foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. If one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. So what Naomi is actually saying here about Ruth and about Boaz, is that he's a close relative and a guardian redeemer. He is one of these people who can redeem the land of Elimelech and the family line and also produce the family, continue it. Here, again, if a foreigner resides among you, it's picking up about Ruth, becomes rich, and if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and sell themselves to the foreigner, Ruth and Naomi, or to a member of the foreigner's clan, then retain the right of redemption after they have sold themselves. One of their relatives may redeem them. An uncle or a cousin or any blood relative in their clan may redeem them. Or if they prosper, they may redeem themselves. Can you see what Naomi is actually asking here? So that these verses, verses 1 to 5 that we now come to and I'll read to you, are more than matchmaking, all right? More than just finding a husband, all right? There's more to this. So let me read it out to you. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you, a place of rest where it is right for you to live. That's what the Hebrew word means there. Where you will be well provided for. Now, Boaz, with whose women you are working, have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley in the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. Verses 1 to 5, there are more than Naomi matchmaking, Ruth and Boaz. She is seeking the protection and provision by God of the family name and the property of Elimelech, Naomi's dead husband, Ruth's dead father-in-law, of the living and the dead. That's where that "and the dead" takes significance when she's saying that. I know Boaz is looking after Ruth and Naomi, but what does Naomi mean when she's saying "and being kind and looking after the dead"? That's the link back into here. And what's the significance here is that the foreigner, the one who's now become one of God's people, who is being an example and a witness to God's people here, Ruth is willing to do this act of kindness and agree to that. All right? So that's what's happening in verses 1 to 5. Verses 6 to 9 we come to, a marriage proposal. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. You can just imagine. Who are you? he asked. All right. And Ruth, after waiting till the middle of the evening, at the bottom of his feet, I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. In that symbolic action, Ruth is not saying to Boaz, let's make love, let's have sex and fulfill this. What she's saying is, will you marry me and fulfill the act of a guardian redeemer and the producer of further children in the future of Elimelech and of my previous husband and provide for Naomi as well. A marriage proposal. Ruth realizes that she was the one God could provide through. Isn't that amazing? Orpah's gone back to Moab. Naomi's too old. She is the only one for whom God could use, through this one, this servant blessed, this young, well, a lady now, to be an instrument of God to bring about a child, redeemed. She is willing and humbly accepts that. May your servant go in peace. Kindness is recognized by Boaz, but not as you think. Verse 10. Note he says this. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. I don't know about you, but in my very first reading of this, in my sinfulness, I'm thinking that Boaz here is asking thank you to Ruth for wanting to make love to him and not going after all the young kids and young people around the place, the young men and the rich or the poor. And what we see here is not that at all. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is not about the act of fulfilling all this. It's actually being willing to do what Naomi is asked of her to do. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. Notice back in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, what is the kindness that she has shown earlier? Remember there, Boaz replied, I have been told of all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. This is the kindness that Boaz is talking about, that Ruth has done previously. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to refuge. Remembering here that Boaz here is thinking about being kind and providing for Naomi and her father-in-law, and Ruth's father-in-law, Naomi's previous husband, who's died, and not just Ruth as well. Kindness recognized, but not as you think, verse 10. Boaz recognized and praised the faithfulness and integrity of Ruth. Verses 11 to 13 now. It's a yes from Boaz. He's willing to do that for Naomi's family line and Ruth indirectly. Verses 11 to 13. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character, an upright woman, a woman of integrity. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Oh, like any drama, isn't it? There's always a twist, isn't there? And you're thinking, it's not going to be Boaz. God provides. God's going to be, what's going to work out here? Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. And note, she lies there at his feet till the morning. It's a yes from him, but there is another close relative. If he doesn't, Boaz will. And this brings another little twist into the story, of which I will not answer unless you come to Bible study or ask me after church, all right? Did Naomi know of this other close relative? She knew of Boaz, all right? Which means, what is she doing there back in verses 1 to 5 to 6 when she's telling Ruth about what she's going? Is she trying to get this other guardian redeemer relative who's close in the family to step up, be a godly man, do what God's people, don't go what everyone else is doing, what's right in their own eyes, and do the right thing and be a redeemer of this family? Again, within God's people, we are meant to be an example to promote amongst our fellow brothers and sisters who may not be doing the right thing, to do the right thing. in a loving and respectful way that's honouring God and has the best intentions for them. And I take it that's what Naomi's intentions is too, and Boaz in this situation as well. He just doesn't go and bypass the law. He doesn't take matters into his own hands and go, oh, let's forget about him. You know, his integrity. God provides through the integrity of his people, verses 14 to 17. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He is concerned about the integrity of this woman, of Ruth, of also that all due process being carried out properly, that nothing will hinder Naomi being looked after, her husband previously, Elimelech's line, honoured and respected, and all that God requires is done properly. What a man of integrity. What a godly man. He also said, bring me the... He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley. This may not seem much to you, but there's a lot in this, all right? He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. He's not just thinking about Ruth. He's not just thinking about himself here. He's thinking about Naomi and the respect to her previous husband and to God. And remember, what did Naomi feel like at the beginning of that story when she was bitter with God? Don't call me delightful, happy, which was Naomi. Call me Mara, for I am bitter with God. I am now empty. And so the story's unfolding here. God is faithful to his people, despite what we're like. In whatever circumstances we might be in, we are to stand up, be the kind of person that God wants us to be in that. And he will honour that, and he will provide and protect. And he does that through his people. God provides through the integrity of his people. Can I say thank you for the way in which you individually provide for others, be it in family, brothers and sisters in Christ, or a neighbour or someone you don't know, those little acts of kindness that you do out of knowing that it is a godly thing to do, even it might be at your expense often. What's my words really are saying thank you to you, but you will hear it one day from our Lord. Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done. God provides through the integrity of his people. And finally, verse 18, faith and hope is renewed. We see here that Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Her faith in God providing is renewed. What a change is happening in Naomi. And she knows that through Boaz, he will settle that today. He will make sure that the right thing is done. Men, wouldn't that be wonderful? And it will be wonderful to know, be known as someone who will keep God's promises, to be distinctively the kind of man that God wants us to be, like Jesus. Boaz, this little story of chapter 3, reminds us of the character of God, of Christ, and of Jesus. It's a story that speaks of God. And in Isaiah 43, verses 3 to 4, we pick up that our God is a God who redeems. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. God is a God who redeems. and of the Christ we see, endowed in the King, of the Christ that's promised in the Old Testament scriptures. This is what's said of him. Endow the King with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May he defend and the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Of the Christ in Isaiah we read, with righteousness he will judge the needy. With the justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. And of Jesus we read in the Gospel of Mark, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, as a guardian redeemer. Yes, Trevor, but is there anything more in this story that Boaz being an example of God, the redeemer of his people? Is there some pattern of, I know there is a pattern here of Boaz being like the Christ that would come and of Jesus who would give his life as a ransom for many. But what is the link between all three? Where is there anything in the story that's going to tell us that this is going to show us that God will redeem through his Christ and through Jesus, who we claim to be the Christ and believe to be the Christ? Well, that's next week in chapter 4 when we come to that. And so I encourage you to read that. These four chapters of Ruth, this little story of Ruth, reminds us of four things. The faithfulness of God despite we, his people, and the situations we find ourselves in. God is always working his purposes out for our good, for those who love him and called according to his purposes. Welcoming and providing for the outsider, and so doing, do so keeping God's law. And being thankful and grateful, not underestimating the goodness of God in all of this. I know you'd love me to maybe jump in and talk about Jesus in all of this, but our songs that have been chosen today pick this up and lead us into next week when we come together. So let me pray. In the words of Psalm 130, we wait for you, Lord. Our whole being waits. And in your word, we put our hope. We wait for you, Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, God's people, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel. You yourself, God, will redeem and have redeemed your people for all our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Boaz. We look forward to seeing and hearing how your Son Jesus is the one who has redeemed us. Amen.
This next song is one that's new to me. It might be new to a lot of others as well. But please stand and listen to some of the things that this song reminds us that our Redeemer has done for us. Please stand.
Come together now into a time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for what we learn in the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. We thank you for the way you show us that you are faithful to your people, including us, despite the way we act and the choices we make in the situations we find ourselves in. We thank you that in today's passage you have shown this in providing Ruth with a guardian redeemer to fulfill your law, and in doing this, that you've also worked your purposes out. Heavenly Father, the example of Ruth as a Moabite outsider is a challenge for us to watch out for the outsider. This story shows us how normal daily events matter and are important in many ways that aren't always obvious. Help us to be willing and able to step in and show kindness to all around us, and in so doing, live according to your law in our hearts. And lastly, we ask, Father, that you will help us to do all this in a way that honours you for who you are. Help us to be thankful and grateful for what you do and your extravagant goodness to us, as we saw today with Naomi being unexpectedly given 6 measures of barley. Thank you, Lord God, for these people from history, and what we can learn from seeing how you worked in their lives. Amen. Sovereign Lord, we bring before you the continuing global challenge of managing the pandemic. You know all things and hold them in your hand. We ask that you would protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick, comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or who are living in fear of this disease. Please prosper the work of those providing a vaccine for the coronavirus. We ask that you will allow the rollout of the vaccine to continue to be progressed, especially in helping the nations and people who really need access to it but can't afford it. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, especially in how to handle the really difficult topics of lockdowns and the equitable distribution of the vaccine. We also ask that you will grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give. Lord God, we know that you are our strength and shield, so we pray all this, putting our trust in you. Amen. Lord our God, we know that you love the truth and detest lies. This week has highlighted the important role of the journalism-based media and social media platforms in our society. We thank you for the work done by professional journalists who have a thirst for telling the truth based on facts and informing us of important stories and events that we need to know about or think about. Please prosper them in their work. We ask that you will uphold Christians who work in the media sector. What we see of this sector appears to often be cynical and critical of people who serve you. So we ask that you will give them confidence and strength to maintain the integrity of their faith in the work that they do and in the workplaces that they occupy. We ask that by doing this, they will be salt and light for the people around them and able to show your love and care for everyone. And Lord God, we ask for the role of media in our society to be protected and enhanced. We can see from world events how misinformation and deliberate lies are a cancer to our social bonds and harmony. Please protect us from these forces and give us the wisdom to continue to know how to value and support good journalism. Amen. Lord our Shepherd, we know there are many places where your people are unjustly persecuted. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in countries like Egypt, Iraq, and Iran, who are frequently discriminated against and attacked because they are believers and followers of Jesus. Help justice to be done so that discrimination will be stopped. Lord, please give our fellow believers confidence in your presence and the ability to stand firm in their faith. Give them safety from physical attack and help them to be patient in their response to aggression and show love to those who are persecuting them. Lord, we thank you that you are all-knowing and achieve your purpose through their suffering to honour your name and grow your kingdom. Amen. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we thank you for the opportunity to teach Scripture in schools. We thank you for the way that this creates a connection between the local churches and schools, and ask that you will help to make these relationships strong and positive as ways for the church to be able to help and be involved in the life of their local communities. Thank you for the dedicated volunteers who invest their time and effort in the preparation and leading of the classes. Please give them wisdom and insight into how to reveal your word and your love for all people and your desire for us to all turn to you and acknowledge our need of you. Give them patience and strength for when it is needed in standing in front of their class. We thank you for the students who attend Scripture. Please open their hearts and minds to not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. We ask that by your Spirit you'll be growing them in their knowledge and love of you and how that changes them and their lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in this part of your kingdom. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We ask that you will be with us as a congregation so that we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to stand firm together and to be striving together as one. Give us your confidence so that we will not be frightened by those who oppose you. Help us to be united so that we will value each other and look to each other's interests. Heavenly Father, we also have people who have special needs at this time. Lord, please give them peace and comfort. We also ask that where it's appropriate, please help each person to get wise and insightful assistance in any treatment that's required for them. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, trusting that in your mercy, you will provide what is needed. Amen. And in the words of the collect for the day, let us pray that we may grow in the self-sacrificing love of Christ. Father, help us to understand the meaning of your Son's death and resurrection and teach us to reflect it in our lives. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Lord our God, we bring before you all these prayers of your people, knowing that you love to hear what we have on our hearts and minds. We trust that you will continue to uphold and strengthen each of us this week in our relationship with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, David. Just a few little announcements beforehand. I'm going to invite Karen up. Coming up in a couple of weeks, very soon. Next Friday.
Good morning, everybody. And Trevor's just pointed out the light at the end of the tunnel is happening. We're getting there this Friday. We're going to be at the end of the tunnel. Ladies, it's not too late for you to sign up and come along to join us for this conference. It's here at the church, we're live streaming, so it would be a great time for us to be in fellowship together and have some really good teaching and input. So please don't feel like you've missed the boat for that one. Please come along and join us. Just bring some morning tea, something to eat, some of your own refreshments. It would be lovely to have you with us. And now, my second announcement, yeah.
Parenting, it's a roller coaster. Sometimes it's fun, sad, easy, hard, confusing. How do we ride the roller coaster so we do the best for our children? Ask our parents, friends, experts, the internet. How do we make sense of it all? Mothers Union has developed Families Equip, a course that assists in riding the roller coaster of parenting. It connects us with other parents who are experiencing similar issues. Families Equip deals with our family of origin, parenting styles, resilience, stages of development, effective communication, discipline,
and what makes a strong family. It also presents God as the loving creator and sustainer of families. Families Equip will not make you a perfect parent or promise a perfect child, but it will equip you to be more informed and more deliberate in how you ride the roller coaster of parenting.
I wonder if you agree with the video, if you've had some experience with parenting, whether there has been some ups and downs in your journey. I know for me, that's certainly the case, regardless of the age of the children. I'm not sure if it gets easier as they get older or not. This is a course that's been running for many years. It's presented by Mothers Union, and here at Abbotsford Anglican, we're really keen to support the families of our church, the families of our playgroup, and the families of our community in this role of parenting. We know it's hard work, and this is a very well reputed course. It's Australian specific, but it has well recognised and worldwide parenting advice as part of the course, and you've seen some of the topics that they'll be covering. We're going to run this, it runs over 4 weeks, beginning in March, so the 9th, 16th, 23rd and 30th. This course, while it seems automatic that it would be for people with younger children, it's actually open to grandparents, aunties and uncles as well. If you're a carer of a young child, you might be interested in coming along to this course as well. Grandparents have attended this course and have found it valuable, really helpful in caring for the little ones. So if you'd be interested in it, or you have family that might be interested, please let me know. It's really an important thing to think through. We often just do what we think we know. And it can be helpful, even if they go away with just one extra piece of advice. We all know anything can be helpful sometimes. So please consider it, or let people you know consider the option. But please speak to me if you'd like to know more. I'd love to talk to you about it. Thank you.
Next Sunday, I think it's next Sunday in the roster. Thanks, Janice. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper together, again, as we have done in January. Again, it's a time to remember not only the love that God has towards us in Christ Jesus, but the love we ought to have for one another. So come prepared for that next Sunday coming up. Next Sunday also, what happens in the case of an emergency? What do we do? Where do we go? Who do we look to? All right. Well, next Sunday after church, we're going to have a little practice of that in advance, all right, so that you'll be briefed before the service as to where we go, and then after the service, we'll do that little practice as well. Did you want to say
something? Since COVID, we haven't actually been taking offertories in the service as was formerly done before March last year. However, thank you for all those who support the ministry that is run out of this church, because it is a very valuable gift, and obviously we're only giving back to God what he's given us, but thank you. And I ask you now to stand as we hear a more familiar song about our Redeemer.
Jesus.
Please just bow your heads as we pray. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have been the richer for you being here today, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.